You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK. The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and welcome along to the Daily Racing Podcast brought to you by William Hill. We're looking ahead to Friday's action on this edition and we start at 1:10 on Friday. We've got action from Newcastle, Ascot and Haydock. In the afternoon then it's Kempton and Musselburgh in the evening, as well as a jumps fixture from Ireland at Kilbeggan. And it'll be Ross Briley, Gary Capel and Craig Forsyth, the team in the studio, to guide you through all of that on Friday. But before all the action, my name is Sam Norris and joining me on this edition of the podcast is Chris Pimroth. How are you, Pimmers?
Very good afternoon to you, Sam. I'm very well indeed.
Good.
Refreshed and ready to go.
Yeah. You love that jingle, don't you?
I love that jingle. It doesn't have to give me that little bit of a get up and go. I could do that on the morning, you know.
Set your alarm.
I'd be up and running, clean my teeth, had a shave and down on that yard within seconds.
Yeah, it's an upbeat number.
It is indeed.
Before we get into Friday's racing, we'll go through the news as we always do. In what has been a week of retirements, Pimmers, we'll start with the news that we had earlier in the week. Just touch on this and get your thoughts. Obviously, William Mullins has decided to call time on Hurricane Fly. He's been retired. Hayley Turner has also said that's enough for her at the end of the season. What do you make of two of those? I think one, Hurricane Fly, we maybe expected, but Hayley Turner one's a little bit left field.
Slightly, yeah. I mean, I think the Hurricane Fly one, what more could he do?
Yeah.
He was only getting older. He'd proved himself to be a fantastic horse throughout his career. And again, they did the right thing. They retired him at the top of the game rather than him going down the slippery slope. He's been a wonderful asset to the Mullins yard, and he'll be sorely missed. I mean, you don't win so many Group 1s as he's done and not be a tremendous racehorse.
22, was it?
I think it was 22. And again, the thing is, I don't think he was actually the most straightforward to train either. I think he had physical issues that the Mullins' team cope very well with. And again, he's going to have a happy retirement and, like I say, he's gone out on a high and we'll all remember him, won't we? Because what a fighter he was.
Yeah, absolutely. And some terrific battles that we've seen, especially, I remember him at his beloved Leopardstown, of course. But Hayley Turner, she perhaps had...
Yeah, I think it was slightly caught many people on the hop, her retirement. But by the same token, if you look back, you know, she hasn't particularly had the best of seasons. She was actually only a substitute for the Shergar Cup team, which again I thought was a real confidence knock to her. She got into the team through the mishap of Cathy Gannon. Reading the articles about her where she said she'd slightly lost her bottle, that is a term that a lot of people say if a jockey's not having a good time of it, or he's not going through the gaps like he used to, or he's not maybe seeing a stride into a fence on a horse, oh, he's lost his bottle, she's lost the bottle. It's nothing about bottle, it's about confidence, I think. I think bottles are all about confidence. And if you've got no confidence, you're not as brave as you might be. You're not going for as many opportunities as you might do. You're not going for the gaps. And her confidence has been shattered. She's gradually rebuilt it to get back to riding winners. But I think she's more than like thought to herself, well, actually, there's more to life than this. Plenty of doors will open up for her. Mm. And she's still going to be able to use her expertise in the saddle into other ways in the racing game. So I think, again, you know, she's going to be an asset having finished a career in the saddle. And again, I think it's very much like a Frankie Dettori thing, this. 18 months ago, 2 years ago, Frankie had nowhere to go.
Mm.
He was down and out. He wasn't riding as well as he can because his confidence was down low. But fortunately, he had a great mentor in Gosden who gave him confidence, got him back on the right track, and Frankie now is riding as well as he's ever done in his career because his confidence is bolstered, he's riding the right horses. He was no different jockey 2 years ago than what he is now, other than his confidence is up now. He's got belief in himself, he's got belief in the horses he's riding, and that's the Frankie Dettori that we knew 10 years ago. And it's only because circumstances have changed and people around him have helped him through that no confidence stage of his career.
Yeah, no, it's a fair point. It's not just racing, is it? I mean, I guess every sport, confidence is absolutely key. It's been said many times by many people, but it is a fact, isn't it?
Yeah, because you don't become a good jockey overnight and you don't become a bad jockey overnight. But somewhere in between, you've got the ability. And like you say, you just need the confidence. You need the backup of people. And you need people to inspire you as well when you're down. It's no good when you're down and out and not maybe riding winners. Somebody coming down and saying to you, well, that was a bad ride. That was, you know, you've got to try and find some positives out of it to build you up, because if you do keep at it, and hopefully the good times will come again.
Yeah, absolutely. Anyway, Hayley Turner and Hurricane Fly bowing out, and someone else who has announced his retirement this morning, just before we recorded the podcast, Clive Britton is going to retire from training at the end of the season. A six-time British Classic winner, 81 Pimmers. I hope I'm still going with the amount of energy that he's got when I'm 81.
Well, again, he's a great character, isn't he? We've seen him when he's had success of late, doing his little jig and his little dance. At 81, he's shown great aptitude for the training. And again, he's one of the first guys on the Newmarket Heath, isn't he? He's out about 5 o'clock or something. Whether he sleeps or not, who knows? Once he retires, he'll be able to sleep a little bit longer and have a lay-in. Again,
you hope so, wouldn't you?
Well, that daily routine that he's done for most of his life, more than likely a bit of breaking, actually. Yeah. It's more than likely quite a bad habit he's got there, and he needs to kick that habit. Yeah, but no, he'll be well and truly missed, that is for sure. And again, he's had some very good horses, and he's had great support throughout his career.
Yeah, fantastic career from Clyde Britton, and we'll be sad to see him go at the end of the season.
Yeah, to be honest, it's been, when you see these things, you know, about people retiring, you think to some, well, yeah, they've had a great career, Hayley Turner's more likely proved the right time. There's one person in racing I would love to see retire, and that's Ken Pitterson. Now, I don't know if anybody's mentioned it to him, but it more than likely wouldn't be a bad thing. Maybe he caught you on the hop a bit that time.
It has a little bit. Maybe you can tip him into retirement, Pimmers.
I can maybe send him over the edge so he does.
Maybe if you hand
jump
him
off the ship.
If you hand him a humiliating defeat one of these days, maybe.
But that's every week, Sam. That's why he needs to think about it. Hang up his pen and his binoculars.
It wouldn't be the same place without KP. You'd miss Pitterson more than anyone, Pimmers.
I would not miss Pitterson one iota.
Oh, you know you would. Clive Britton retiring at the end of the season then. One more thing to touch on before we move on to Friday's action, Pimmers. It would be remiss of us not to mention the front page of the Racing Post this morning, but how much of a big deal you make out of it, we'll get your thoughts in a second. Obviously, Seb Sanders has made the front page on Tuesday by his decision not to ride in his boots so that he could make weight at Goodwood. He's come out and said that everyone's made a bit of a mountain out of a molehill. He hasn't actually broken any BHA rules. But if you were a trainer or a punter, would you be annoyed?
Well, I think he's maybe just going through a bit of a midlife crisis. He's obviously desperate men do desperate things. He's not having a great time of it at the minute. And he's just forgot his boots, hasn't he? I mean, it happens all the time with me, you know. He maybe think he's Zola Budd. Does he think he's Sandy Shaw? I don't know who he thought he was. For me, I don't think it's a great example to set. Mm. As you quite rightly said, he's broke no rules. There's nothing in the rule book to say, you know, he can't even ride without his socks on.
Yeah.
But the thing is, as a health and safety issue, it's more than likely not a good thing. It's more than likely not a great thing for the young people of the racing world to be looking at. And I think it's more, what's the word I'm looking for? It's more irresponsible than anything, I think, other than that.
Unprofessional,
irresponsible. And listen, those boots that they wear are so thin that you could nearly be riding barefooted. You know what I mean? There's not a great deal under your foot anyway.
Yeah.
That light. I mean, if he's struggling to do the weight by 8 or 10 ounces and he has to go without his feet,
exactly,
well,
yeah.
To be honest, those waterproof trousers that he's got on there in the picture, they're more than likely as heavy as his other breeches and his boots put together. So I don't know what it was, but he's more likely wishing he never did it now.
Yeah, because it's a bit of a difficult time for him in his career at the moment. He's not perhaps getting the rides that he wants, and this is bad press, really, isn't it, I guess? Yeah,
well, no press is bad press, well, because we're now talking about Seb Saunders.
That's true.
Whether it's right or it's wrong. But, you know, in the words,
I can't imagine that people are going to be tripping over themselves to,
oh, very good,
to book him.
I like that, Sam. Tripping over themselves. Yeah. I mean, what was that famous song? These boots are made for walking.
That's just what they'll do.
Yeah. One of these days, these boots are going to
walk all over
you. You've got it, buddy. So, I don't know. Like you say, it's more than likely a storm in a teacup.
Yeah.
But it's made the headlines. And it obviously shows that on this Thursday, the 3rd of September, we're short of some news.
Slow news day, yeah, that's right. Done well to spin 10 minutes out of that then. We'll take a look ahead to Friday's racing now. We've got one from Haydock, one from Kempton and two from Ascot to bring you. We'll go through these in chronological order. So we'll start with the Haydock 410. This one's a 7 furlong handicap. It's a Class 3 event with 12 of them down to contest this. Anyone caught the eye here?
Well, 12 of them go to post. It's text IGF to 78000 today, 5. I think that would be £5, is it? So that would be good.
Yes.
If you could do that.
Donate five,
you know what I mean?
Right.
All good for the Injured Jockeys Fund. David O'Meara, triple-handed here. He's got Steel Train, he's got Alejandro, and he's also got... Xanthius, I think that's how you're going to pronounce it. Xanthius or Zacchinus?
Yeah.
Yeah. Now, talking about...
Zacynthus.
Zacynthus. Yeah. Well, talking about the old, gossip mongering, the gossip train. It's all about David O'Meara at the moment in the racing world.
Heading to Ballydoyle.
Is he going to Ballydoyle? Is he going to Warren Place?
Yeah.
Is he going to Wart Hill, the yard of Mel Britton's? Lots of things about David O'Meara going on down the rumour.
Because he himself came out and quashed the Ballydoyle rumours, but you wonder whether, if he is heading there's been a word in the ear, and whether Ballydoyle have said,
I think sometimes there's most smoke without fire, isn't there?
Yeah, that's
but
right,
as far as David O'Meara is concerned at this moment, there's a great big bonfire going on, and nobody can just get the right answers.
Yeah.
I think take his three against the field, though, to be fair, Sam. Steel Train's been in good form, ran well in defeat last time out. Shelley Burkett moved up north. Not sure that move really worked for her, are you? She hasn't actually blown us away so far this season, has she?
No, she hasn't blazed the trail, that's for sure.
That's it. And then you've got Alejandro, who has been very tough, very consistent. Has raced off a mark of 98 in the past. Races off a mark of 88 now. So certainly the handicapper giving him a chance. But obviously he needs to, because he has been knocking on the door, but the door not quite opening. And the same with his other runner. He's been pretty tough and consistent of late. Josh Dale takes a valuable £7 off. So again, he's got to be in the mix. Rodrigo Torres, he set off winning off marks of 63. He's now up to 84. So his winning ways, I think, have more than likely come to the end. And Peril's an interesting one. Disappointed last time out, but had put back-to-back wins together there. And Paul Hannigan takes the mount for Simon Crisford. So all in all, competitive handicap. I think O'Meara, one of his three will win. If I had to side with one, I'm going to go with Alejandro.
Alejandro then in that 410 for Pimmers. Haydock, we'll move on then to Ascot for the next two of our races, and we'll go to their 420. This one is a mile handicap to Class 2 event with the dead 8 runners at the time of recording lining up for it. Who do you like here?
Again, very, very competitive race, as you'd imagine. 18,675 for the winner. Mm. So a decent prize to be had, and you'd imagine so. And again, it's that race I love. I don't know if you like it, but I love it.
What's that?
Stella Artois
handicap. I was, yeah.
Love that. Straight from the keg. I don't like it out of the tin, but when it's hand-drawn,
it's
beautiful.
It's never as good out of the tin, is it?
It isn't. You're right. You're right. The only things that are good out of tin is beans. After that, nothing. But yeah, very competitive. Again, that man O'Meara, his name crops up again in the shape of Birdman. I mean, he's been very, very tough and consistent so far this season. He got badly hampered last time out at York behind Chill the Kite. If you can forgive him that, he's been in real good form. He's £1 lower than when he ran at York last time out. He's definitely a player for me in this mile handicap. Early mornings, tough and consistent for the Harry Dunlop yard, but he's gone up £11 for that success last time out, and that might just be a burden too much. And Secret Brief, he's been pretty tough and consistent for the Charlie Appleby yard without actually getting his head in front, but again, he could be a player as well, as he ran really well behind Farlow at Doncaster last time out. And that form of Farlow's real strong, real stood up, Doncaster form over 7 furlongs last time out. And again, Secret Brief could be a player, but I'm going with that man O'Meara again. He could be an each-way price, Birdman. And with the dead 8, he looks value.
OK, it's Birdman then for, as John Budden would say, the man with the magic wand.
How is Lord Budden? Is he still living?
He's in good shape, Pimmers.
Is he? Yeah. Oh, fantastic, because there's him, there's Mick Norton. I always sort of have a, when I have a bit of a break, I worry about their existence.
Are you not in that bracket with them?
I'm not in that loop, no. I've managed to keep just under the radar concerning that one.
Good work. The 4:55 at Ascot then is the next race on today's podcast. This is a classified stakes over a mile. 10 of them set to contest this Class 3. Who caught the eye?
Oh, gosh, this was very, very tricky, I thought. Many of them, you know, similar sort of weights, as in similar official ratings. Obviously, run off very similar weights. A couple of them, because they're a bit younger, getting a couple of pound allowance, things like that. I thought a couple that were interesting. I thought Pallister was interesting for the Appleby Yard. He ran really well last time out when he finished third behind Chevalier at Sandown. Thought that was a plenty good enough run. Off a mark of 88. He went up £2 for his efforts there. He only finished third. Sometimes I wonder about that handicapper. Supreme Occasion, he's dripped round the weights as well. He's coming down for the O'Meara Yard there. He could be a player. And the other one I thought could be interesting was Victor's Bet, who's been off the course for 376 days. Won off a mark of 75 last time out, up to 79. But again, having had that absence, if he strips fit, he could be interesting. But I thought I'm going to side with Franklin, trained by Michael Bell, ridden by Betty Spencer, ran well enough in defeat last time out, Franklin. And I think there could be a little bit more to come from him.
OK, Franklin D then getting the pick in that 4:55 at Ascot. Final race on today's podcast comes from the Kempton Poly Track. This one is a handicap over a mile and 3 furlongs. 9 of them are declared for this one. Any standouts here, Pimmers?
God blimey, you've made it late to a long way now, haven't you? Hey, nearly 8 o'clock. I'll be in bed. I won't be able to listen to this race on William Hill Racing Radio, your best bet for sport and all that.
Yeah,
no way, Jose. But again, it's very, very interesting, this race. I thought there's a couple that took the eye. Kasusi, I think that's how you're going to present it,
yeah.
Is it? Kasusi, again, a readied winner last time out when we saw this one on the race course at Kempton, over a mile and 2. Steps up to a mile and 3 tomorrow. That won't be an issue. And again, interesting, when he won back in the last season, he wore a visor. He came to Kempton last time out, no headgear on, absolutely dots up. Tomorrow he's got the pieces on. So obviously James Doyle does feel that. He obviously does have a little think about it. Obviously doesn't always maybe concentrate enough. They put the cheap pieces on, but the way he won last time out, and they think that pieces will help him, he's got to be a major player. Up £7 for that success, 85 up to 92, but he's definitely an interesting one. As to is the Sir Michael Stout runner, Redard, who, again, it was only a maiden that they won last time out, but he made all, couldn't have done it any easier. Went up only £6 for that success, so handicapper not overly burdened him. How much more there is to come remains to be seen, but for me, it's between those two and Iggledy Piggledy, 1, 2, 3, the pin has fallen on Kasusi.
Kasusi then getting the pick in the Godolphin Blue in that Kempton 7:55. Just remind us please then, Pimmers, one more time of your 4 selections for the action on Friday.
Yeah, we're looking towards the first race being the 4:10 at Haydock Park, and we're going for the David O'Meara Alejandro. 4:20 is another O'Meara horse in the shape of Birdman. He could be an each way price in an 8-runner race. And the 4:55 at Ascot, we're going to side with Franklin D. I'm waiting till nearly bedtime for all of you. The 7:55 at Kempton Park, number 3, Kasusi.
Brilliant stuff. There we are. The thoughts of Chris Pimlott ahead of Friday's action. And you'll hear every race live on Friday from 1:10 p.m. It's an early start on William Hill Racing Radio with Ross Briley, Gary Capewell and Craig Forsyth in the studio to guide you through all of the action.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.